Blog Talk Radio.
Coming live from Pittsburgh, Benson Victor Bring. Major League Baseball and all related things. Inside MLB. Inside MLB.
Good evening, Inside MLB fans. My name is Benson Vector, and I'll be your host tonight. It is Monday, March 14th, 2016, and we have a wonderful show to get to. Opening day is just 20 days away. Get excited, but we have spring training baseball to talk about and all the excitement that goes along with that. So let's get started with our first player in the American League East with the Yankees. And now Brian McCann injured his knee on Sunday. McCann was moved from Sunday's Grapefruit League game after he was hit above the left kneecap on a CC Sabathia pitch. Manager Joe Girardi relayed that McCann left the contest because his knee stiffened, but the catcher is expected to be okay. Despite Girardi's optimism, McCann will likely fit in a few-day respite in order to avoid the injury lingering into the latter stages of the spring. Now, Brian McCann, he does not want this knee injury to turn into anything bigger than it needs to be. So I think he will be out he won't be out, but he'll be mixed in there. I just don't think the Yankees want to risk this 32-year-old catcher's health. And it's kind of surprising that he didn't catch a CC Sabathia pitch. He doesn't pitch that fast. So, I mean, you never know. The 32-year-old catcher could be wearing down behind the plate. But Alex Rodriguez is already the permanent DH, so there's nobody can but Brian McCann, which might not be good if you're a Yankees fan. And then it becomes, who do I want, Alex Rodriguez or Brian McCann? Because they're both are bad defensively. And at third base, it's already Chase Headley, so Alex Rodriguez can't fit in there. At first base is Mark Teixeira. So it's sort of a logjam right now. And as Brian McCann continues to get older and his knees continue to wear down, his injuries again continue to pile up. Because for catchers who are 32 years old, I mean, their knees eventually, they're going to break on them. And Brian McCann's knees, it's just another example of a pitcher's knees wearing down. And Brian McCann needs to realize that. Maybe try to get out of the Yankees organization because he still has a pop. 26 home runs last year, 94 RBIs. He can still hit the ball well. But if he's not on the field, he's not going to hit the ball. So that's that for Brian McCann. Let's move to our next player, and that's from the Orioles. His name is Jason Garcia, and he was optioned to Double-A Bowie today. Oh, yeah, so let's get into him. So, there was some speculation that Garcia could make the big league roster, but the 23-year-old will have to wait a little longer. Despite being used exclusively as a reliever last season, he'll work as a starter to begin in the 2016 campaign, looking to develop more extensively against advanced hitters. So, Jason Garcia, the Orioles acquired him via the Rule 5 draft, and he will work as a starter begin the campaign. And I think if he can succeed against the advanced hitters at the major league level, he'll do good. He's 6 feet, 185 pounds. He's not an overwhelming size, but he's a decent size, about average for major league pitchers. And he's still young, so the Orioles, they have a draft success story right now. Got him in the Rule 5, so he's going to have to be on the team. And, again, the speculation that he could make the big league roster, obviously it's not true. Option to Double-A Bowie today. But Jason Garcia, he still has time. So to begin the season, Double-A Bowie, at least it looks like he could start in Triple-A. You still never know. But he's in Double-A camp right now for the Bowie Bay Sox, I want to say. And in Bowie, he'll be a starter. And the Double-A hitters are obviously better than the hitters he's faced in the past. He faced the Double-A hitters in Bowie for only 15 innings. So he hasn't really experienced them. His most of his levels are in the Single-A, High-A, Rookie Ball, and all that. He did jump, though, from Double-A to the Major Leagues. Had a 1-0 record. That may seem good, but the 4.25 ERA, 1.42 WHIP accompanied with that, that's not good. So Jason Garcia, he still needs to mature as a baseball player. Mature on the mound. And I think we can expect exciting things from this young man. Let's move to our next player, Matt Wieters, and how his MRI came back clean. So that's good news for the Orioles here. And, I mean, honestly, this is excellent news. As Wieters appears to have avoided any major injury, the Orioles are planning on taking things day by day with their catcher. But as long as nothing more severe develops, Wieters should be fine after the soreness goes away. The thing is, with Brian McCann, he underwent Tommy John surgery, which isn't really a custom for catchers or for any position player to do. It's mainly a pitcher injury. And if you don't know who the guy, the specialist, who diagnoses or confirms Tommy John, a torn UCL, is Dr. James Andrews. And I'm glad Matt Wieters did not have to go see Dr. James Andrews because he's still young. He's 29 years old. He still has a good future with the Orioles, and he did accept the qualifying offer, one of the few to do so. Colby Rasmus did, I believe, and Brett Anderson, I want to say. So he did accept the qualifying offer. And I think the Orioles really need to wait this one out because they have a young catcher. And if they do not wait until he better and the soreness goes away, they could be looking at a severe injury. It's great news, excellent news that the MRI came back clean. Perfect. That's what the Orioles want to see, because if something happened in the MRI, I mean, there can be some chance of repeat Tommy John surgery. And that path for players is just so hard. Because they, first time, you get diagnosed and you have to go through the surgery, then the rehab, and you have to get out a year of baseball. Then if you get it again, it's just like, wow, he didn't even play that much last year. He barely got to play after recovering from Tommy John surgery. He returned early June, so that's... Let's see what we could have Matt Wieters in the future. I think the Orioles need to be cautious with him and just wait out until the soreness goes away. All right, fans, we have to take a break on Inside MLB. But when we come back, we are going to move into the National League East, where we talk about the Nationals, Phillies, Braves, and Mets. That's next. Talking about Brian McCann and his knee injury that he suffered yesterday. We were talking about Jason Garcia being optioned to AA Valley in his future, as well as the excellent news with Matt Wieters' MRI coming back clean. Now, time to move to the National League East, where we're going to start off with Ryan Zimmerman of the Washington Nationals and how he is slated to make his spring debut. He actually did make his spring debut yesterday and went 1-for-3. He hit cleanup as a DH in yesterday's Grapefruit League game against the Cardinals. So according to MLB.com's Bill Ladson, Zimmerman is expected to DH again Monday before assuming his regular first base duties for the remainder of the spring. His left foot doesn't seem to be an issue for him Sunday, and Zimmerman is on track to be ready for opening day. So this is good news for the Washington Nationals because although he only played as a DH, he still went 1-for-3 and he still hit cleanup. So that's good. He DH'd again today, and I believe tomorrow he'll be playing first base for the rest of the spring because obviously the Nationals don't have a DH every day, and they cannot DH Ryan Zimmerman when there isn't a DH. Just doesn't make sense. But Ryan Zimmerman made a tough transition from third base to first base. And most of this was because of stud Anthony Rendon, who plays both third base and second base. But if you recall, the Nationals, their infield was pretty much set at the time. You had Anthony Rendon and Desmond Danny Espinosa. The only really free space on the team happened to be the first base spot. So it only made sense for Ryan Zimmerman to make the move. And even though he is over the hump at 31 years old, it's never good to be over 30 in baseball nowadays, but he's still in the time where he can have a solid season. Now, his batting average was down last year. He hit 249, 16 home runs, 73 RBIs. I think that's about where his home runs and RBIs will be for his career. I think he can get that average up. And but as these power hitters, like Ryan Zimmerman, who hits, 20 home runs a year, they might look to get that batting average a little lower because they're looking to get the big hit because as the older you get, the slower your running becomes. So for Ryan Zimmerman, his running, eventually it's going to slow down. Let's go to see the stolen base holes over square because that's what I want to hone in on right now. The most stolen bases he ever had in his career was 11. So he's not really a base dealer. He's not really that fast. And if you look at what he's projected to get in 2016 about a stolen base, that's pretty weak for first baseman and for the overall. But you never expect your power hitters to be those fast speed demons, do you? So Ryan Zimmerman, I think he's fitting comfortably where he should be. I don't think he's going to be batting cleanup, though, for the year because just think about the talent that they have there right now. I know they lost to Narsban. Narsban really has been their jolt. He's been the spark plug of the organization. If you look at the numbers with the Narsban and without the Narsban last year for the Nationals, there's a big change. So the fact that the Giants actually picked him up might be worrisome if you're a if you're a Nationals fan, because Denard Spanius is at the top of your lineup. But you just remember, the Nationals traded bullpen stud, which didn't make sense to me, Drew Storen for Benavir. If I was a Nationals guy, I would have been like Jonathan Papelbon for Benavir, but I don't think the Blue Jays would have accepted Papelbon. Papelbon's aging, and Storen made more sense, but I don't think they got enough of a return. Okay, Benavir is good, and I understand that the Nationals need a leadoff hitter and Benavir obviously can provide that, but Benavir's not going to hit any home runs. Denard Span actually did have some decent power, so you can't discount him there for that. He can definitely go yard. Benavir, the last time he went yard, was in an exhibition game where he actually had the walk-off home run. So that's a little fun fact on Benavir. Let's move to another Nationals player, Chris Bostic, and how he was optioned to Double-A Harrisburg today. So the soon-to-be 23-year-old second baseman had a stellar run with a big league club this spring, hitting for a 333 average with two doubles and four RBIs and 12 at-bats. It will not be surprising for him the most impressive numbers in a second crack at Double-A pitching. Although the Nationals' middle infield depth makes promotion to the majors unlikely in 2016. So what I want to go over real quick is Chris Bostic, right? And there's sort of a logjam in the Nationals organization. Just think who's up there now. You have Trey Turner, who's a shortstop of the future. Danny Espinosa is there right now. Danny Espinosa, my second or short. So I believe Danny Espinosa might start the season at short. Rendon can play second. So it's sort of, you have Rendon, you have Espinosa, you have Trey Turner, and Bostic is sort of just sitting there like, hey, I had 333 this spring, two doubles and four RBIs. I know it was a limited experience, only 12 at-bats, but I still think it's a good experience for this 22-year-old second baseman. He will soon be 23, March 24th, actually. And Chris Bostic is actually a pretty good story. He was an undrafted free agent that the Nationals took a chance on. And he really isn't that big, only 5'11", 185. And Chris Bostic was told his whole life, you're too small, you're too small, you're too small. But the Nationals gave Chris Bostic a chance, gave him the minor league deal, and he has proven to everybody that he can play ball. He can. He's been playing since age 18 in the big leagues, and it's his fifth year of competition this year. It'll just be interesting. Chris Bosnick in 2016 in Double A. So let's move to our next guy. As for the Phillies, and Odubel Herrera, and how he had an extra taken on his right middle finger, which came back negative. Okay, so Herrera reportedly injured the finger on a hit first side in home plate a couple weeks ago. Although the injury is just surfacing now, he has been pointing to the ailment and said that he's been available to play if need be. But it won't be too surprising for the Phillies to give him a day or two off just to rest his finger. Now, this is interesting. I know Odubel Herrera is 24 years old. He was a Rule 5 pick. They got him from the Rangers last offseason in the Rule 5 draft. And he was really a success story last year. And the Phillies hope for him to be a cornerstone of the roster behind, like, Mike Franco. There'll be Odubel Herrera, Aaron Nola, J.P. Crawford's coming. So they have a nice talent pool, and Odubel Herrera, only 24 years old, is one of them. Now, what I think with this young outfielder is that he injured his finger, and he thought, you know, his stuff, it would go away. But it wasn't, and he started complaining about it, is my guess. Went in for an x-ray, and it's good that it came back negative. But I just don't think he told anybody, either because it was his stuff, or he just is that competitive. He just wanted to go out, and he wanted to play baseball. He didn't want to go off the field. But Odubel Herrera has to be more mature than that. He has to tell Pete Maknik right away when he gets something hurt like that, because if he doesn't, it could be detrimental to the organization. Because even though the Phillies probably won't be competitive this year, you never know until they go into the field. Odubel Herrera is supposed to be a key piece of that. He'll probably get around 20 steals here, about 285. He's not going to be a double-digit home run guy, get about 50 ribbies. But he can bat leadoff, and a leadoff position is where the Phillies need him the most. And if Odubel Herrera doesn't tell somebody that he's hurt, it'll be dangerous. But they turn in home plate. And we don't really have time to talk about Odubel Herrera, so we have to get to Mike Foltynewicz of the Braves and how he has an illness right now, and we'll start Thursday's split squad game against the Nationals. So this is a very good time for the right-hander as he works back from his surgery in September. He still is behind the other pitchers, but re-entering game action does put him in a better position to make it into the rotation for the start of the regular season. This things should become clear following Thursday's game, though, so continue to monitor the situation this week. So if you're a Braves fan, I suggest tuning in to the Thursday game split squad. But I suggest tuning into the game against the Nationals because Mike Foltynewicz just started, and he has a bright future. He's 24 years old. He didn't really have that good of a season last year. I don't expect him to have a good season this year. But the Braves, they have a heckload of amazing pitching. They just do. Their pitching is amazing. And the crop that they've brought in from all the trades, and I'm not going to rack them all off right now because there's too many to remember. So we'll see what we can have Mike Foltynewicz in 2016. And obviously, a surgery surgery in September. So he's working back from that. And right now, it's not expected that he's going to make it by opening day. The projected time back is April 17th. So that's about 2 weeks after opening day, I believe, since the first three games, which are exciting this year, they're April 3rd, the Pittsburgh Pirates by the St. Louis Cardinals. I'll be attending. And then I think the Blue Jays play as well, and I forget the other team, but it should be an exciting day of baseball. You really should tune in. If you're not going to the game, watch all three. 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock. It's going to be a great day of baseball to kick off a wonderful 2016 season where there's a lot of interesting stories. So we'll see what we get of Mike Foltynewicz, and hopefully he's recovered from his illness by Thursday. Let's get into our next player and how David Wright, with his back injury, will play minor league games Tuesday and Thursday with a possibility of returning to Grapefruit League action afterwards. So The veteran third baseman appears to be gearing up to get ready for opening day. As long as everything goes as planned, he should be ready. This timeline seems to point toward a Friday return date, but things should become clearer as the week goes along. So, what I get out of this is that, David Wright's spinal stenosis last year is sort of creeping in this year, and his back is, you know, still healing, so he's day-to-day with that. I think it's actually good that he'll play in a minor league game Tuesday and Thursday, because it's less competition. It just gets him the reps he's needing. Oh, he doesn't really need to jump in the group for league action right away. And I think that Friday would be a good return for him after playing Tuesday, Thursday. And it'll be nice because he gets a day off today, goes to play some minor league game tomorrow, gets a day off Wednesday, and then plays back-to-back days, which would be real new for him. So you get Thursday in the minor leagues, Friday in the big leagues, or the Grapefruit League. So, it'll be interesting to see what we get out of Dave Wright, who's just 33 years old. And according to a lot of experts, his career is slowly but surely coming to a halt. The iconic image of the Mets. I mean, he's set so many franchise records. The Mets absolutely love him there. I mean, for all the years that they didn't do well, Dave Wright was always there. He was just the anchor of the franchise. The guy that Mets fans knew wouldn't be going anywhere. The guy that Mets fans knew loved New York and Citi Field and just all that goes on, the Queens of New York City. And I think it's sort of sad that David Wright and all these back injuries are happening, but he's so integrated to hopefully get this back fixed and get the David Wright of the old back. We probably won't be getting that. All right, fans, we have to take a break on Inside MLB. When we come back, we're going to be moving to the American League Central, where we tackle the Twins and the Tigers. That's next. Time to move to the central part of the country. But in the East, we've been talking about Ryan Zimmerman and how he made a spring debut yesterday, Chris Bostic being option AA and his future in the long jam organization, Odubel Herrera and the good news of his x-ray coming back negative, Mike Foltynewicz and his recovering from his illness to start against split squad against the Nationals on Thursday, and David Wright with his back injury recovering from that, playing in the minor leagues Tuesday and Thursday, and hopefully returning on Friday. So, it's now officially time to move to the Central, where we start with the Twins and talk about how Eddie Rosario went 1-for-3 in Monday's spring training win over St. Louis. And if you're not aware what Monday is, it is today. And so, right now they're saying it's 261, the home run, two doubles, and 8 games in spring. So Rosario, he enters the 2016 season with a starting outfield role after a strong rookie season, where he hit 267 with 13 home runs and 15 triples. He'll need to improve his command of the strike zone. However, as he drew just 13 walks and struck out 2 off, he'll be the starting left fielder but could move to center field if the Twins elect to begin Byron Buxton in the minors. So right now, after the pretty good 2015 campaign, Eddie Rosario is slated to begin the season as the starting left fielder. And 261, it's not that bad for 8 games, but again, this is spring training. And you never know what you're good at pitching, because sometimes, you know, Madison Bumgarner could be pitching, or sometimes, you know, Casey Stabler could be pitching, or some unknown guy like that, you know? And it's just not a standard, right? You look at the stats sometimes as you see a guy like go 3 for 5, and you're like, wow, good game. But then you see, look at the competition he faced. Then you see, like, Eddie Rosario, 1 for 3. Like, all right, look at competition. Oh, for example, might have been Adam Wainwright. I don't know who he faced. All I know is he went 1 for 3 with a, one for three. I don't know what he got. But the box score, I thought that was pretty notable. Notable. Jeez. Is that better? Yeah. So, I thought it was notable that he went 1 for 3. And, again, the Twins could have liked to start buying Bucks in the minors, and that could push Eddie Rosario to center field. And you never know. Eddie Rosario could be a better center fielder than Byron Buxton. I don't think it'll happen. But Byron Buxton might be forced to start in left field, depending on the Twins' decision, because Eddie Rosario could impress in center field and start, and just, like, take over there. Eddie Rosario is 24 years old, still young. The Twins are a young team. They have some young talent, and it sort of went through, like, a retooling, rebuilding phase, and they got some nice talent in there. Miguel Sano, Byron Buxton, Eddie Rosario, circling around Joe Mauer, who's just been there forever, it feels like. But I think Eddie Rosario has a bright future with the organization. I forgot to turn on the buzzer. But let's just talk. I don't want to talk about it anymore. So let's talk about, the Twins' crop attempt. It's really been nice, I think. Again, only in the Miguel Sano, Byron Buxton, Eddie Rosario. It's just a nice group of talent. And technically, that's their whole outfield. Left field, right field, and center field. So, the Twins really tackle the outfield. And you think about the great outfields in the game. We'll go to the Pirates, for example. Gregory Polanco, Starling Marte, Andrew McCutchen. And you see they have a good team. We've got 98 wins last year. I think it's a good formula that the Twins are following. Eddie Rosario, Byron Buxton, Miguel Sano. That's your outfield. Could that lead to 98 wins? I don't think three guys are going to lead to 98 wins. But if they have the supporting cast around them, they could. And you know what I think is interesting when I'm looking at Eddie Rosario? He bounced from AA to high A in 2013, 2014. So that's, I don't know if it would be strange, but it's just sort of weird that he did that, because he had 70 games in AA. Oh, we're going to get 8 games in high to start the year, so maybe it's a contract thing. I'm aware of their AAA to the Major League contract, where, you know, you keep them in the big, no, you keep them in the minors for a couple of weeks, and you bring them up to the bigs, and you get an extra year of service by default. And Eddie Rosario, he defects from Guayama, Puerto Rico. He was shot in the 4th round, I believe, by the Twins. I'm going to test that out. If you count in the 4th round by the Twins. Jeez. Microphone not working. Who's damn it. Okay, let's move to our next guy. We're going to be talking about Jorge Polanco. And what did he do? Yes, he went 3 for 5 in Monday sprint training win over St. Louis. So let's talk about him for a moment. Jorge Polanco, right now, he's hitting 280 with a home run this spring. And Polanco, right now, he is in the running for a reserve infield role, but more likely begins his season at AAA. Polanco for 289 average at AA Chattanooga last year, but had just a 661 OPS at AAA. He was just 21 last season, so he could improve rapidly in a second stint at AAA. And Jorge Polanco, very young, 22 years old. And I think we can see extreme improvement from AAA. Can you still hear me? Yeah. Okay, so, I think he's going to have some nice improvement at AAA this year. I think that's where he actually belongs. I don't think a reserve infield role would be suitable for him. because he's a young guy, and he just needs his reps right now. He just needs some game time. He needs to be on the diamond. He just needs to be a bench guy. And I know you might say, well, wouldn't you rather be in the majors than in the minors? Well, sometimes, but if you're developing 22-year-old shortstop, who's a highly talented prospect, who I think will be a stud in the majors one day, a starter with AAA. And if he's a stud there, then bring him up for the majors. Just take it level by level, nice and slow. And if he starts tearing up pitching at one level, bring him up to the next. And eventually, hopefully one day, he tears up at the major leagues level. And there's nowhere you can go from there except 2%. So that's sort of the gist on Jorge Polanco. I like Vlasian Polanco. You know Gregory Polanco, the Pittsburgh Pirates? It's a good last name. What can I say? What was I thinking about? Dang it. I was just about to tell you my story, but don't have time. I'll move to our next guy, which is Francisco Rodriguez, and how he has reportedly a swollen finger, but is still on track to pitch Tuesday. So let's talk about this. It's really unclear what caused the swollen finger, but it doesn't appear to be too serious considering he's not expected to miss his next scheduled appearance. His status should become certain on Tuesday, though, so continue to monitor the situation. Pay attention to our Tigers fans. K-Rod, who you just acquired from the Brewers, is having this swollen ring finger. I know. My grandpa, he was once skating, and he fell, and his ring finger got swollen. So I don't know what happened to get his ring finger swollen, because it's just a weird finger. Actually, your pinky. Just go in your hand right now. Pinky. Or ring finger. Which one is stronger? I think the ring finger is harder to, like, maneuver. The pinky's easier for me. What do you guys think? I'll give you a moment. Like, right now I'm thinking pinky, I can, like, move it back and forth. But, like, well, for my little experiment there for you guys to try, I thought that might be nice. You know what I should do? I should get a sound clip for that. Be like, I'm trying to think of a catchy name. Here it is. The Pinky Ring Finger Challenge. Like, the pinky versus the ring finger. Who wins? It'll be an interesting segment for you guys. You should send in videos. That would be actually pretty cool. Send in videos, admin at MLBinside.com. Okay, so I'll have to spell admin. I'll spell it out for you. A-D-M-I-N. Couldn't say that last word. A-D-N. That's all the time for Francisco Rodriguez. Let's talk about Jairo Laborte and how he was optioned out high in Lakeland today. So, really, we're going to do a Superman reference here. I thought that would be nice for you guys. So, his kryptonite, see what I did there? As a pro, has always been his control, or lack thereof. And that was once again the case this sprint, as he walked four batters in 2 minutes. He has some of the best pure stuff in the farm system, but as long as Detroit keeps on the starting pitching track, it will be a slow road to the majors. I'm just looking right now. 5.12 ERA in high A. No kidding, this is going to be slow. If he doesn't do well at high A, if he doesn't do well at Lakeland this year, oh my gosh, that's going to be a long pass. He might not even make it to the majors. I'd be 72. Was he undrafted? Yeah. Undrafted, 6'4", 205. So apparently he's an innings eater. He throws in the upper 90s. So if he got together and he got his control together, I think he could be good. Whispering a secret to you right now. Jairo Laborte could be something special. You know, he could be the next Justin Verlander for the Tigers. They do a great job at getting their pitching. Max Scherzer, he was homegrown. Justin Verlander, homegrown. And Val Sanchez wasn't, but it feels like he was. So the Tigers, they've done a good job, I think, of getting their homegrown talent it's just been nice to see them. Also, I forgot to tell you about this. The Inside MLB opening day documentary is coming out in 20 days. The same day opening day is. So to get you hyped up for the games, go to MLBinside.com and watch the documentary. We have to take a break on Inside MLB. When we come back, we are going to be moving to the National Central. Talk about the Brewers, Pirates, and Reds. Talking about the Twins and Eddie Rosario in his 1-for-3 and Jorge Polanco is 3-for-5. I'm talking about the Tigers, Francisco Rodriguez, his swollen ring finger, but still on track to pitch tomorrow. And Jaime Laborte struggling with his control and has option to high Lakeland today. But it's time to move to the National Central, and we will move to the Brewers to start things off, and how Ryan Braun will be returning to game action this week. Even though he's been dealing with a back injury. Hodge Report follows up with some very encouraging news, including that Braun could be playing already, but is simply playing it safe. Moreover, with 3 weeks remaining in spring training, there's more than enough time for the veteran to prepare for the regular season. Barring a major setback, it appears Braun will be ready for opening day. So Ryan Braun, he's coming back from this back, and you know what? I want to give my opinion on Ryan Braun. He's getting up there in the age. He's 32 years old. I don't like him at all. Fighting his suspension, saying he never did it. And he gets suspended. I don't like Ryan Braun. I don't know why anybody would like Ryan Braun. He's not a very likable guy. That's what I have to say. And what I want to do is I want to give you guys some homework. I want to give you guys something to do for me. Something to, you know, have it be a fan to host sort of interaction kind of thing. And what I want to leave you with today is look up Ryan Braun. Just do that. That'll be your homework assignment for the night. Send me what you did. admin@mlbinside.com. You know, I'll look it over. Give you a grade. It's sort of fun. But I want to cut this show short. We have about 20 minutes left. Yeah, so I think that'll be all for today. See you. What is it? Wednesday? Yeah, 7:30, 8:30 p.m. No. Oh. Now, I'll see you tomorrow, actually. 7:30, 8:30 p.m. See you tomorrow. My name is Ben Spector. Have a wonderful Monday night. And it's pie day.
So go eat pie.